The truth. This is the Divided Kingdom News Program. Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cobbett Caverly, are reporting amidst the dum-dum-dem's would-be impeachment dream. The real stunning Paul Revere warning President Trump gave everyone who loves America in his tweet for October 1st. Well, it was important, and we have to know what it is. And we know that he said words that were very important, that we're almost in a coup, something to that effect. And also unprecedented were the remarks our president gave on September 25th, 2019, to the 74th session of the United Nations General Assembly. And here resides the global brain planning the end of national states and the implementation of a global government and religion. On our September 26th program, visit our archives at dividedkingdomradio.com. The late Dr. Stan Monteith discussed the Nazi-U.S. connections and the 100 U.S. great corporations already working with Alan Dulles and others inside Germany as early as 1936. Ford, AT&T, Exxon, IBM, and others helping to build Hitler's military in preparation for World War II. Dr. Stan discussed the false flag wars that were not allowed by U.S. military to win. He discussed the Spanish-American War, the war on the Philippines, World War II's unnecessary prolongation when the Japanese begged futilely for 6 months to surrender, and the unwinnable Vietnam War, followed by the Afghanistan quagmire. Disappointingly, President Trump's UN speech remarks on the Afghanistan situation seem to be a knuckling under to continued efforts to seek peace with the Taliban. Later, we hope he will try again to bring the troops home, despite the deep state's desire to keep the poppy fields guarded and profits rolling. Dr. Stan also revealed that the reason Israel, post-World War II, was only able to track down two major Nazi war criminals, Klaus Barbie and Martin Bormann, was that Nelson Rockefeller of the UN founding family told Israel it had a choice. Number one, track down all the Nazi criminals, or number two, have the UN approve Israel as a Jewish national state. Of course, the choice would be a Jewish homeland after the horrors of the Holocaust. Dr. Stan commented on info that suggests Hitler, Mengele, and Bormann escaped to South America. Gray Wolf is a very stunning book that pursues that Hitler escape scenario. He described the Nazis being brought to U.S. under Operation Paperclip, as well as the ones aided to flee to South America by the Vatican rat line. The UN's UNESCO auspice has long come under scrutiny as it tries to destroy nationalism in the family. Its arm reached into the indoctrination of U.S. public schools. Even years ago, the Calhoun Reader, a public school textbook, called for the end of nationalism in the family. Just recently, according to InfoWars, it has been revealed that NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, the pedophilia association, is on the steering board of UNESCO. When Lou and I got a Christmas card mailing from UNESCO recently, only one card that they were selling showed a star. That was the only thing that had anything to do with Jesus Christ's birth. The other cards were all about nature and nature subjects, more Mother Gaia in spirit than anything to do with the virgin birth. With the one disappointment of President Trump not being able to resolutely end Afghanistan's long entrenchment, it's now our longest war, at least not yet, he amazingly stood up for America's nation state against the globalism gremlin on September 25th. Of course, he touted his administration's successes economically and his nationalistic reasons for tariffs. But there's a lot more, isn't there, Lou?
Yes, Elizabeth. President Trump stated that he believes we are really in a coup, one that wants to take away people's borders and our freedoms. These are powerful words, more incisive and more immediate than Eisenhower's parting admonitions warning America of the, quote, military-industrial complex, unquote. They echo the strong revelation given by the words of John F. Kennedy just 7 days before his assassination. President Kennedy said there's a plot in this country. This is a quote now. There's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot, unquote. Elizabeth?
I think now it's so important that, most of all, Trump laid down the gauntlet for America to stay free.
Yes, he spoke strength to power, admirable courage, integrity, because I have no doubt in Trump's heart he cares about each of us, citizens. In part, here's what he said. 7 decades of history have passed through this hall, in all of their richness and drama. Where I stand, the world has heard from presidents and premiers at the height of the Cold War. We have seen the foundation of nations. We have seen the ringleaders of revolution. We beheld saints who inspired us with hope, rebels who stirred us with passion, and heroes who emboldened us with courage. All here to share plans, proposals, visions, and ideas of the world's on the world's biggest stage. Like those who met us before, our time is one of great contests, high stakes, and clear choices. The essential divide that runs all around the world and throughout history is once again thrown into stark relief. It is a divide between those whose thirst, who thirst for control. It is a divide between those whose thirst for control deludes them into thinking they are destined to rule over others, and those people and nations who want only to rule themselves. I have the immense privilege of addressing you today as the elected leader of a nation that prizes liberty, independence, and self-government above all. The United States, after having spent over $2.5 trillion since my election to completely rebuild our great military, is also by far the world's most powerful nation. Hopefully, it will never have to use this power. Americans know that in a world where others seek conquest and domination, our nation must be strong in wealth, in might, and in spirit. That is why the United States vigorously defends the traditions and customs that have made us who we are. Like my beloved country, each nation represented in this hall has a cherished history, culture, and heritage that is worth defending and celebrating, and which gives us our singular potential and strength. The free world must embrace its national foundations, yet must not attempt to erase them or replace them. Looking around and all over this large, magnificent planet, the truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique. It is why we in the United States have embarked on an exciting program of national renewal. In everything we do, we are focused on empowering the dreams and aspirations of our citizens. And those are some of the words spoken by President Trump to the 74th session of the United Nations General Assembly, this just less than a month ago. And now,
and I'd like to ask, Lou,
yes.
I thought that I may have jotted down the exact words of Trump's latest tweet about the coup and mentioning John F. Kennedy's words that just about 7 days before he was killed. Do you have that with any of your writings there that you see?
I do, yes. Kennedy's words, and I believe I said that, but it's well worth repeating. President Kennedy said, quote, there's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot.
And do you also have the accompanying words there of Trump's latest tweet?
I do not believe that I do, at least not on this page that I'm looking at now.
I'm sorry about that, because I was taking notes and I may have jotted that on something separate. But, you know, to paraphrase it, you know, we were putting the two together. It was basically the real big warning that this is a coup, and if we don't pay attention to this, we have every chance of losing all of our liberties. It's a very serious thing, and it shows us that Trump is awake. He does understand that the deep state is his chief rival. So it's very important. If you have seen that tweet, maybe you will look at that again and think about it. And now you're moving on to those Dems, those dum-dums.
That's right. But what Elizabeth just called the dum-dum Dems, would-be impeachment dream, drum beats on. Virtuoso cartoonist Rick Collinger in the Eastern Maryland Star Democrat newspaper well pictures the braying mascot. On October 1st, the indomitable donkey has helicopter propeller ears, somnolent half-lidded Obama-like eyes, a mouth with a few teeth showing, dressed in a D.C. suit and tie, just as if someone called out to Alexa and said, "Give me a true story about the Democrats in America since the year 2000. The donkey says, quote, "Okay, we lied about health care and border security, and Ferguson, and Benghazi, and Cohen, and Stormy Daniels, and the recession, and cash to Iran, and Libya, and gun control, and Russian collusion, and the FBI, and rats in Baltimore, and the ability of democratic regimes of cities to govern, and the truth of socialism in Cuba, and Venezuela, and the Green New Deal, and Elizabeth Warren being an Indian, and Kavanaugh. But we're telling the truth about the Ukraine."
But is it the truth about Ukraine? Lou and I found it interesting what columnist Adriana Cohen wrote on Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. "Holding facilities are not concentration camps." That's her headline, and I think this is supposed to be a little satire on how the Democrats are always lying and exaggerating. You remember when they were doing their drumbeats for pity for all of the migrants, the illegal aliens. Oh, it's good we're not in New York, Lou. I might be arrested.
Is that right?
I called them illegal aliens. I think I can't do that
anymore. Oh, that's
anymore.
A no-no, huh?
But I'm in Maryland. So at any rate, I think this is a little satire whenever the Dems were saying that these holding facilities for the migrants were concentration camps. So she's saying that we're once again told that something is not right when it is right, or it isn't right when it is right. Black is white, good is evil, etc. Pardon me. So she says, "As the attempted coup to oust a sitting president failed spectacularly, Democrats have now pivoted to impeachment, a replay of the same old movie, only with a different title. With the Russia hoax, Democrats waged a massive disinformation campaign against the president, telling the American people our duly elected commander-in-chief was a Russian asset. They accused President Donald Trump of treason and conspiring with a foreign enemy to steal the 2016 election from Hillary Clinton, none of which was true, evidenced by the special counsel's 22-month investigation, which didn't charge the president with a single crime, despite turning over every stone. Now that the Mueller Russian hoax has collapsed and Democrats' lies and conspiracy theories have been exposed, they've launched an impeachment inquiry over a classified July phone call the president had with Ukraine leader Volodymyr Zelensky, stemming from a whistleblower complaint filed with the Intelligence Inspector General, a complaint most Democrats didn't read before the impeachment inquiry was announced. Nor did House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other liberal lawmakers bother to review the transcript of the phone call. This key information was of no interest to them. Democrats in Washington today are more fixated on a never-ending political narrative that Trump did something wrong than on actual proof. If that isn't the definition of a partisan witch hunt, what is? But that's not all. The complaint from the so-called whistleblower was found by the Inspector General to have a political bias against the president and, surprise, support for his political rival. We've also learned the whistleblower had no direct knowledge of the phone call. In an August 12th letter to Chairman of the Select Committee on Intelligence, Richard Burr, and Democrat Representative Adam Schiff, a venomous Trump foe, the whistleblower said, "I was not a direct witness to most of the events described." Translation, I'm a Trump-hating political hack spreading hearsay to help Democrats like Schiff, an architect of the Russia hoax, remove a duly elected president.
Understandably, the president expressed frustration with Democrats' baseless impeachment crusade, tweeting on Thursday, "The greatest scam," this is in quotes, "the greatest scam in the history of American politics," unquote. Indeed, before any voters fall for yet another hoax, they should take a look at the lies the left has already peddled this week. They've quickly been exposed by the president's swift release of the phone transcript. The American people were told by Democrats and the fake news media that the president engaged in a quid pro quo, threatening to withhold U.S. military aid to Ukraine in exchange for investigating Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Lie number one. The transcript shows no such quid pro quo took place. Then we were told the president relentlessly pressured the Ukrainian leader to investigate the Bidens. At the UN this week, while meeting with Trump, Zelensky told reporters, quote, "Nobody pushed me," unquote, into investigating Biden or his son. That followed a TV interview last Saturday from another top Ukraine official, Foreign Minister Vadim Kristakov, who said, quote, "I know what the conversation was about, and I think there was no pressure," unquote. But Democrats won't let facts or evidence get in the way of their hateful obsession with overturning the results of the 2016 election. If they cared about bribery and corruption, they'd turn their attention to the front runner of their own party, who appears to have engaged in a real quid pro quo while vice president in the Obama administration. At a Council on Foreign Relations event last year, Biden bragged on video that a former Ukrainian president, Petro Poroshenko, didn't fire its prosecutor who was investigating the natural gas company where his son Hunter sat on the board of directors, the Ukraine wouldn't get a windfall of U.S. aid. Quote, "You're not getting the billion," Biden said. "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch, he got fired, unquote. Double standards and hypocrisy that are sure to repel voters come 2020.
And now there's another viewpoint. Jackie Cushman of Creators.com has this viewpoint. Get ready for trial and tribulations. If you are among the 86% of Americans who believe that our polarizing political environment represents a threat to our country, get ready. It's about to get worse. The announcement last Tuesday by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that the House of Representatives is moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry, and I am directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry, is one that many Democrats have been yearning for since President Donald Trump was elected in November 2016. Pelosi was probably not happy when a Quinnipiac University poll surveying 1,337 registered voters nationwide from September 19th to 23rd released the next day that only 37% of voters, did you hear that, Lou?
Yes.
37% of voters supported an impeachment of Trump with a clear majority. That ought to cheer up Bernie when he's in the hospital. We really do pray for him. We're not being funny about that. So anyway, these 37% of voters supported this impeachment of Trump with a clear majority of 57% saying Trump should not be impeached. Well, she may have made the base of the Democratic Party happy. Pelosi's decision to proceed will not expand that base. Many Republicans have concluded that the impeachment inquiry is a sign that Democrats in Congress are losing their minds. They predict that the resulting blowback will hurt the Democrats. On Wednesday, the White House released the transcript of Trump's call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. While it did involve discussion of an investigation into potential corruption by Hunter Biden, son of Democratic primary presidential candidate Joe Biden, and a Ukrainian company, there was no quid pro quo. You might be wondering how we got to this process. It started with the election of Trump. Unable to come to grips with the reality that a New York developer, reality TV star, and self-promoter had been elected president on November 8, 2016, many Democrats took the next day off to console themselves. So, how is this going to work? The process of impeachment starts in the House. At some point, to move the process forward, the Democratic majority would have to list out the articles of impeachment and have the full House of Representatives vote on the articles. If passed by the House, they would move on to the Senate for the impeachment trial. Removing the president from office would require two-thirds of the Senate to vote in favor of his removal. There have only been two impeachment proceedings in our nation's history. The first was in March 1868, after our Civil War, when the House of Representatives passed 11 articles of impeachment against President Andrew Johnson. It moved to the Senate for trial, but was dropped after they could not get the two-thirds majority vote. In December 1998, the House passed two articles of impeachment against President Bill Clinton. The next month, the Senate initiated hearings, but never mustered enough votes to remove him from office. Nancy Pelosi on 60 Minutes blithely stated what President Trump said in the text of his call, but she blithely changed things, you know, distorted, exaggerated. The lame MSM went into its talking points to firm up this flimsy Ukraine case. There were at least four news venues screaming, "National security!" You see, they're trying to say it's violated. That the president has no right to talk in confidence to national leaders. No. If JFK hadn't done some talking to, was it Gorbachev at that time, Lou?
No, that would have been Khrushchev.
That's right. If he hadn't talked to him, we might not be alive because there would have been nuclear war. But it doesn't matter to these dum-dums. They don't even think about their own survival, Lou. But now, in addition to having these venues screaming national security, there were others pronouncing, "No evidence, no evidence, no evidence." They're just like a bunch of harpies echoing each other. This was on the Biden corruption issue. Fox News clearly televised what columnist Adriana Cohen described that we read to you. There was Joe Biden standing right in front of the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, logo. You know, that globalist think tank from which so much stuff comes against us common people. He was bragging how he got the Ukrainian prosecutor fired. One of the most pathetic, lame responses in the mainstream media had to be that of columnist Susan Estrich on October 2nd. By the way, October 2nd was Lou's birthday. And you're like Jack Benny, aren't you? You're 39.
I'm about 39, that's right.
Yeah,
pretty close.
He's a good role model. Well, anyway, Estrich said this on October 2nd. "It is terrible to be afraid of your own president, but how can you not be? Even people with borderline personality disorder generally have some limits. Donald Trump has none. No limits. No judgment. The only question is what his party will," I think I cut off a word, oh, there it is, "will do. Why shouldn't he act like he is above the law? His party has allowed him to be. Democrats will proceed. The president, by his actions and reactions, has made that inevitable. This is not fake news." I know you were yawning, Lou. I think in your mind you were thinking, was this the readability of a second or a third grade reader? Weren't you sort of
thinking
that? Yeah,
that sounds just about right. Second grade, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. But interestingly, now we move to some real news. Interestingly, former CIA employee John Kiriakou told Fox News, this Tucker Carlson, Monday, September 30th, that the so-called whistleblower document looks in format like something that was put together by a whole intelligence group, like a whole CIA group. And he knew of whence he was speaking because he did that kind of work. And you know, in everything in life, there's a format you have to follow. So if you were once a certain kind of an engineer, and you went to look at buildings, you would understand things that people who were non-engineers wouldn't. And at the same time, we had Covington kids lawyer Robert Barnes. He was commenting on InfoWars Thursday, September 26th. And he said that the deep state's operation is exposed with Biden's involvement in Ukraine, not just Biden's payoff to son Hunter Biden bragging in front of the CFR logo. And he says that this bravery of Trump is equivalent to that of Frank Church in his 70s hearings on the CIA MK Ultra, that the deep state was working with Nazis, long-term Nazi involvement. And again, we mentioned what Dr. Stan Monteith told us. You see, the Nazis there have really continued on, and there was always a deep connection with them in Ukraine. So all of these long-term factors, you see, are doing something. And with the World War II, Operation Paperclip, all of that, some of the Ukrainian operatives came here, I'm sure, the Nazi ones. There was that John Demjanjuk, I think, that he was from Ukraine. So we have this analysis here by Robert Barnes, and he says further, this is the real deep state power demanding the Democrats do the impeachment. This is the fulfillment of Schumer's warning. Remember he said something about they'll get you six ways from Sunday? So this is so important that we have to expose that the deep state used these neo-Nazis. Also, InfoWars corroborated that to overthrow the Ukrainian government. You know that that recently happened a couple years ago. And Barnes said that the deep state doesn't want Trump to run the country and that this is a deep state demand. You see what's going on right now. It's so that they don't have a breathing period because they don't have the witch hunt of Mueller anymore. And Barnes maintained that Nixon was taken out not because of the bad things he did, that he was taken out because he passed over Mark Felt for the FBI, and I think he was the covert operative called Deep Throat. Nixon wanted to clean up the deep state, but he didn't win. He was not taken out for anything that he did wrong, his enemies list or things like that, but he posed a threat to the deep state. And so Barnes says the deep state is running this impeachment move. Alex said an encouragement to all of us, Alex Jones, that the deep state thinks they can upset us and repeat 1974 with Nixon, but this is a different world. And that's true. This is a different world. People are awake. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people are awake, and they do not want to lose their liberty. And we also had John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist commenting on Fox Friday, September 27th, that the so-called whistleblower story will not hold up for impeachment or for winning the election. And he maintains that Nancy Pelosi will not call for a vote because she knows it would only be a partisan vote, whereas the vote for Bill Clinton was bipartisan. And when Sean Hannity asked on October 1st, what will Republican representatives do in the House to thwart the Democrats? He was asking Representative Mark Meadows, and I believe that he is from North Carolina, Jim Jordan of Ohio, and Mark said, we'll have to call the Democrats out for creating this obstruction against reelecting Trump. And House Foreign Intelligence Committee, or I think it's just House Intelligence Committee ranking member, Devin Nunes stated that we want middle Americans to know what a hoax this is. And he had a little analysis that they were rushing so much, these dumb Dems, because they saw how tiring to the American public the Mueller witch hunt was. It lost all of its momentum, and it backfired like a big boomerang onto their dumb skulls. But, see, there's a rush, says Devin, by December. They want to really get this thing in the can, I guess. And then news watchdog Tucker Carlson said of these Dems, they saw their opening and rushed in. They took it. This is an agenda not for re-election, but for revolution. Now, Lou, those words are very much reminiscent of what John F. Kennedy warned us, that this plot was going to take away the liberty of every man, woman, and child. And it's very reminiscent of what Trump's latest Twitter was about this, that this is a coup to rob us of our individual freedoms. And his colleague at Fox, Sean Hannity, said September 30th, it's all hands on. You need to engage as never before. And we are really going to ask you to do that on the Divided Kingdom. We really want more people to hear our program. We want you to tell people about it. We want you to talk to your minister if he will listen, as God leads you. And we do need help to stay on the air. We have absolutely no corporate help. And we just struggle along month after month. And if you would like to help us with a little cash, money order, some postage stamps, whatever the Lord tells you you can spare without harming your family, you can write to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We're not even going to give our usual talk about where you can hear us on the networks. This is just too important tonight. There are so many things that we must get to. It's your freedom. We love WWCR. We love Global Star Communications, Liberty Works Radio Network, KStarTalkRadio.com. They're very important with other programs they have, too. But now, we really must get back to what Sean Hannity said. You need to engage as never before. And I omitted the most important thing. I believe we're on the air largely to have the prayers of you strong Christians. Pray for guardian angels to be put around Trump and his family and his administration, around Mike Pence's family. There was sort of an effort, I think, to blacken Karen Pence's reputation. She's just an art teacher part-time in a Christian school. And there was a young black woman who claimed someone had cut off her dreadlocks. And finally, it is exposed as a hoax. So you see, they were going to build this portrait of hate. Again, anything to make us Christians look like crazy right-wing gun nuts or whatever you can have, gun grabbers. Hillary called us clingers, I think, Bible clingers, something like the bitter clingers, something like that. So now, Sean Hannity says you need to engage as never before. What they're doing is they're trying to remove a duly elected official. If they succeed in this manufactured scandal, we will never have the America we knew before. See, one more echoing of this great concern. We have our country. But at the same time, we have these little flippity, whatever they are, I don't know what you would call them, these people who are like robots from reality, I would say. Hillary Clinton in the asylum keeps murmuring, he knows he's an illegitimate president. Representative Rashida Tlaib continues to market her Impeach the MF-er t-shirt on her online venue. But Rush Limbaugh proved his staying power by breaking a story. And this story reported convert to Wahhabi, John Brennan, we've been told by FBI members and others, traveled to Ukraine with a false passport in 2016 to try to find info so he could make up something more on Trump. And so InfoWars reported, too, that Soros's money was involved, that there was a request from USAID for $40 billion for Ukraine. So is he mixed up with that neo-Nazi connection, too? Probably. He helped those who were rounding up his fellow Jews in World War II, so he doesn't have any kind of loyalty to people who don't like Nazis. But you see, to the Democrats' dread, we have the State Department's Michael E. Horowitz investigating the Ukraine ties in the 2016 election to Hillary's campaign. AG William Barr is reportedly busy as a beaver. He has enlisted John Durham to investigate foreign intelligence. And these would be the countries of Britain, Italy, and Australia, as you see, in regard to this Ukraine business and this text the so-called whistleblower text, because I think you listeners realize that we were not really supposed to be spying on people in our own country. So they get around that. It used to be called echelon, I think, where the other countries can do our spying for us for the deep state. And I think that this had a name for it, Infopol, something like that, 9, something like that, I think. So he's going to be looking into that. And so you see, we're going to have some good men standing against the evil. And, you know, as we now move on, standing against the evil, some of this, we also have to bring out another thing that was so absurd that I failed to tell you, to point out. Remember that we had the Adam Schiff kind of quoting the transcript and doing it in a parody, and then he admitted that he did it in a parody. How convincing is that, Lou? Not as convincing as what's going on with the homeless in San Francisco. And now we're going to move all over the map tonight.
Yes, we have a headline from Fox News. This, I believe, was dated September the 24th, 2019. San Francisco homeless crisis prompts a neighborhood to put boulders on the sidewalk to deter campers. This is by Travis Fetchin. A residential side street in San Francisco now resembles a scene out of the Rocky West after a group of neighbors banded together to place about 24 boulders along the sidewalk to try and deter homeless people from camping out amid the city's ongoing crisis. Neighbors along Clinton Park, Clinton Park in the city's Mission Dolores neighborhood said the rocks are meant to keep drug users from having a space to shoot up as they camp out overnight, said neighbor Dan Smith Tan, as he told it to KTVU, which I assume is a TV station, quote, "They'll shoot up and stay overnight. A bunch of my neighbors, we all chipped in a few $100, and I guess this is what they came up with," unquote. San Francisco has a long struggle with problems of human waste and needles in the streets of the Tenderloin District, where many addicts and homeless people are typically found. The city has set up public toilets and last year announced the creation of a special 6-person poop patrol team to clean up the human waste. Similar landscaping measures have been implemented in other parts of the city. The California Department of Transportation has put rocks in an open space off Bayshore Boulevard.
The Democrats' delightful dream.
That's right. Those are to deter encampments, while the Eureka Valley Harvey Milk Branch, I should say that's the name of the former gay mayor, I believe, Harvey Milk, that branch of the San Francisco Public Library in the same neighborhood has made design choices that are perceived as anti-homeless, according to KTVU. A group of neighbors in San Francisco has had 24 boulders placed along a residential road to deter people from camping out. While the city's homelessness crisis has centered mostly around the Tenderloin District, other neighborhoods across San Francisco have also seen an alarming increase of homeless people in recent years. Earlier this year, a preliminary count showed a 17% increase in the homeless population of the city from 2017. However, in that count, San Francisco opted to use the federal definition of homelessness. If it had used the same measurement it has in years past, the numbers would show an increase from 7,400 to 9,784, or 30% increase in 2019. Excuse me. About a month ago, out of the frustration of city officials not doing enough, neighbors along Clinton Park decided to address the sidewalk problem.
And, you know, I have to interject here, and I'll let you get back to this story. It's similar in some other places that the Democrats are running. I watched Laura Ingraham's program on Fox the other night, and last week she had returned after a year's layoff, I guess, to see what progress the city had made. And now under new mayor Lori Lightfoot, there's been a dramatic change. Lori Lightfoot spoke out that She just will not have her police aiding ICE in any way. And if ICE comes to take away, oh, there's that forbidden term again, illegal aliens, the police are to turn their backs and walk away. They are not to help in any kind of an arrest. You see, it's going to be down if we don't stop this momentum of the dum-dums. We're going to have to do everything ourselves. The poop control patrol, bringing the boulders. God only knows what we're going to have to do. And I don't look forward to it. As an American who loves liberty, do you? Do you,
Lou? I certainly don't know.
No. Well, get back to this. This is an amazing. I hadn't read this article. I think this is amazing, rolling
it
these
is.
Boulders.
And this is a quote, since the rocks, it has helped, neighbor Ernesto Jerez told KTVU. Isn't it interesting? I'm going to interject here. That sounds like a Hispanic name, doesn't it, Ernesto?
Why, yes. You know, there are some Hispanics who love America and don't want this agenda.
And don't want
the
filth
stem.
In their front yard.
That's right.
And he went on to say, quote, it's something. We've got to do something. I feel like there is nothing being done, unquote. But homeless advocates call the boulders a cruel response and not a solution to the massive problem. Said Jennifer Friedenbach, executive director of the Coalition on Homelessness, quote, there's actually a name for it. It's called anti-homeless architecture.
Oh, we just need to bring in truckloads more of needles and more drugs. You know, if we stay in Afghanistan longer, we'll have another heroin epidemic in all of these cities. It won't just be the opioid crisis. No, poor Pat Tillman. And there's been kind of a whitewash, I think. Supposedly there are articles written by the person who supposedly killed him in friendly fire. But we don't know what the truth was. The story was, before lots of revisions occurred, he wanted to come home and whistleblow about the poppy fields. Deep state couldn't lose those profits. But pick up the story, Lou.
Yes. San Francisco police officers, wait. Oh, this is a caption. It shows a just a conglomeration of, I don't know what, with some policemen standing by. And the caption says, San Francisco police officers wait while homeless people collect their belongings in San Francisco.
Huh.
And going on with the article, a San Francisco Public Works Department spokeswoman told KTVU the city had no part in putting the boulders here, and since they aren't blocking the sidewalk, there are no plans to remove them.
Well, you know, those police weren't helping them lift all of their belongings. I wouldn't want to touch that stuff either, would you?
No, I would not.
I mean, if
you're
they're defecating
right
there, who in their right mind would want to go in there and touch it?
Yeah, who knows what infections are being
leprosy,
carried by that.
Leprosy, TB, drug-resistant TB, who knows?
Yes. I heard on the radio, I should interject today, I think the boulders were removed eventually, but I can't remember the reason why.
So in other words, the people's will was overthrown once more.
Yes, either that or maybe the people decided that wasn't, you know, really helping the problem. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, we might have to get a follow-up on that.
Yeah, but concluding the article, San Francisco's homelessness crisis prompted President Trump to threaten last week to slap the city with Environmental Protection Agency violation notices.
As well he should.
Yes, for allowing a tremendous amount of waste, including needles, to go through storm drains into the ocean. In a statement, Mayor London Breed called Trump's remarks ridiculous and said storm drain debris is filtered out at city wastewater treatment plants so that none flows, quote, into the bay or ocean, unquote. And let me interject. Maybe the needles don't get there, but what about the infections in the, what's the right word? The stuff that was in the needles. Does that just stay inside the needles, or does that get into the water supply?
Mm.
And finishing up, Breed added that, let's see.
You know, I was there thinking while you said that, because
yeah.
They have shown now in some studies on oysters, I think it might be here in Maryland, but there were things that the drugs that people were using, ordinary types of drugs. Anyway, it was in the oysters, whatever this thing was, certain things that you just, you know, flush down the toilet, whatever. It was sort of surprising.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't discount all this, but go ahead.
And Breed, that was Mayor London Breed, added that the city is fighting homelessness by adding 1,000 beds to shelters and wants to pass a $600 million bond to build affordable housing and increase services for people with addiction and mental illness. One thing I have to interject, can these people live on their own? If they're mentally ill, can you just put them in a house and forget about them? I doubt it. And the last sentence says, homeless advocates on Monday said the immediate problem is that they are currently dealing with a lack of shelters. We have 1,200 people on the wait list for shelter. That's for tonight, Friedenbach told KTVU. People have nowhere to go, unquote.
There's a great deterioration in this country, and until the churches begin to reactivate and people repent to a great deal, for the kind of reprobate mind that we see everywhere taking over, because we don't see enough good people in the churches standing up. We really don't, for biblical principles. So certain things are going to come out, though. God can't stand his little ones to be harmed forever. So we had the Epstein death, and I believe you have a hard-hitting expose next.
Yes, I do. This is from the NewYorkPost.com, dated September the 27th, 2019. Epstein's butler dishes on Paris pad guests, including Bill Gates, Steve Bannon. The butler, who managed Jeffrey Epstein's posh Paris pad, claims he waited on a rotation of famous faces, including Prince Andrew, Bill and Melinda Gates, as well as Steve Bannon, according to a report. The butler, who only identified himself as Gabriel, has come forward about the convicted pedophile celebrity guest during his 18-year career working at the $8 million pied-à-terre. He told the outlet, quote, I served crown heads, diplomats, businessmen, and politicians, unquote. Among the powerful guests he listed were former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak and Prince Andrew, who had crashed several nights at the apartment while Epstein was out of town, according to France Info. The royal has since admitted he, quote, regretted, unquote, his friendship with Epstein. Gabriel said his boss also hosted Bill and Melinda Gates. Microsoft founder has denied that he had a relationship with the disgraced financier, despite reports that he flew on Epstein's plane to Palm Beach in 2013. A representative for Gates told France Info, quote, any allusion to a business or personal relationship between Jeffrey Epstein and Bill and Melinda Gates is totally false, unquote. The butler also claims his boss was still hosting famous guests at his Paris apartment last year. He said former White House chief strategist Bannon paid a visit in fall 2018. Gabriel told his outlet, quote, I was even his driver in Paris, unquote. Bannon's spokesperson denied that he crashed at Epstein's apartment, saying he stayed at the Bristol Hotel. Sources told Page Six last year that Epstein was meeting with Bannon at his Upper East Side apartment as he tried to forge political connections. A source said, quote, Bannon needs money to bankroll his political agenda. Epstein has plenty of money and craves power and access.
And I think now, since we are indirectly talking about Epstein and all of the people who visited his pleasure island and all of the bad things done to underage people, I think we have to look at the tragedy of Greta Thunberg. We hadn't planned this, Lou, but I think it's important because she's the young woman who came out and talked so vociferously at the UN about climate change. And Alex Jones, on Tuesday, September 24th, exposed certain facts that are not known generally, that she is autistic on record, and I think maybe has Asperger's syndrome. And Alex said this is a classical authoritarian move to use children, using the youth to target civilization. The youth get frightened by a crisis at around age 5 or 6, and by the teen years, they will be revolutionaries. And he reminded us of what we had known about Obama. Remember, Lou, we were concerned that he was going to set up a youth corps. We thought this was like the Nazi Jugend, Hitler's Jugend.
Yes.
And so then, you see, this then metastasizes into the types of things like Antifa. And apparently there are some connections with Greta's parents to something like Antifa. And so, you know, when we look at this, getting rid of fossil fuels would kill millions of people. And China doesn't have to do anything with the carbon tax. It's purely control. And when Greta said, "You have stolen my dreams, my childhood," Alex said, "She's a victim." And a video came out. I think it came out on Tuesday, September 24th, and a news person was just interviewing her, I think, Greta. And she said, "We are in the beginning of man's extinction." And again, Alex countered, "If you cut off carbon on this planet, billions will die." And then there was a later time that, off the record, sort of, somebody approached Greta, a news person, and she was inexplicably unable to even make a sentence. And she finally said, "Ask someone else." So we wonder about mind control. We wonder about a lot of things. And David Harsanyi had a column September 27th, "Tragedy of Greta Thunberg," and I will give you part of this. We have so much more. You don't want to miss next week, because we have to get into more about the homeless camps, and we have to get into what's happening again with the drag queen movement and to the children, the One World Church, the Presbyterian Church placing pagan deity in sanctuary, women in Mali raped by jihadists seeking justice. There's so much we have to do. Well, David Harsanyi says about a 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist, Greta Thunberg, lives in the healthiest, wealthiest, safest, and most peaceful era humans have ever known. She is one of the luckiest people ever to have lived. In a just world, Thunberg would be at the United Nations thanking capitalist countries for bequeathing her this remarkable inheritance. Instead, she, like millions of other indoctrinated kids her age, act as if they live in a uniquely broken world on the precipice of disaster. This is a tragedy. We failed her by raising a generation of pagans who filled the vacuum left by the absence of faith, not with rationality, but with a cultish worship of Mother Earth and the state. And now here's the part I am distressed. I wasn't going to read it. David Harsanyi says, although to be fair, after this cultish worship of Mother Earth, the Bible-thumping evangelical's moral certitude is nothing but a rickety edifice compared to the moral conviction of a Greta Thunberg. Sad to say, with the dead churches, that is true. But you see, Lou and I are here, we're living witnesses to what Jesus Christ did for us. He is our personal Savior. We're not thumping about hell. We're just saying that we believe in the Bible there is a hell, and that God is a just God. And those who do evil and turn away from Him and His Scriptures will get their recompense. But David Harsanyi, you see, has never known this. He's never known what true Christianity can be. It isn't a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in which you repent for your sins, you ask His forgiveness, and then He guides you every step of the way. You know, I think again about little Benny. Little Benny was a childhood friend of my brother and me, and he had rickets. So his bones didn't grow properly, so he was not a midget, but he was very short. And I never knew. I would never be here on this radio, because years ago, a couple decades ago, I was ill, and I couldn't work for a year. And I didn't really know what was wrong. I had a variety of things, and I did not know about an autoimmune disease yet. But it seemed kind of amazing that my school system paid me disability. That whole year, I could rest and get better and go back to work. Or I would have had to leave Maryland back to Western Pennsylvania. Many years later, at the time of my mother's funeral, there came Benny. He had worked his way up in a position of pretty much school power in Maryland. And he said, "You never knew this, I guess, but I was on a committee that had to decide whether you would get disability all those years ago." And he said, "I said, you deserved it." Now you see how God Almighty did something important, because his mother and father were students of my mother, the English teacher. She was a young teacher, and of course, students in high school always love their young teachers because they're just a couple years away from them, you see. So they had formed a really good relationship, and Benny's father became a plumber, and he would sometimes come into the schoolroom where my mother, aging out, was still teaching, and he would tell the class I was one of her worst students. You see, so there was a connection there, and God used that connection to save me. and to let me rest and get well. Now, I can like to tell, I would like to tell David Harsanyi, that's what Jesus Christ is, not a Bible-thumping, rickety, evangelical's moral certitude. No, it's freely chosen. Lou and I have free choice. We chose when God called us to do this work. And he has been faithful, hasn't he, Lou?
Absolutely.
Constantly faithful.
He's kept it going all these years.
And here's poor Greta. I'm sure she has not heard about Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And now David says there probably isn't a public school in America that hasn't plied the panic-stricken talk of environmental disaster in their auditoriums over and over again. New York City and other school systems offer millions of kids an excused absence so they could participate in political climate marches this week as if it were a religious or patriotic holiday. We finally convinced a generation of Americans to be Malthusians. According to Scott Rasmussen's polling, nearly 30% of voters now claim to believe that it's at least somewhat likely that the Earth will become uninhabitable and humanity will be wiped out over the next 10 to 15 years. Half of voters under 35 believe it is likely we are on the edge of extinction. Is there any wonder why our youngest generation has a foreboding sense of doom? And we know that this is political control. That's what it is. Way back at the time of the Club of Rome in the 1970s, they decided that the environmental cause would be a good thing to implement to fool people, to bamboozle them into accepting political control. And David says Thunberg might do well to sail her stern gaze and billowing anger to India or China and wag her finger at the billions of people who no longer want to live in poverty and destitution. Because if climate change is irreversible in the next 10 to 12 years, it can be blamed in large part on the historic growth we've seen in developing nations. China's emissions from aviation and maritime trade alone are twice that of the United States and more than the entire emissions of most nations in the world. So you see there, they aren't going to have to pay a carbon tax. That's where the logic breaks down. And the logic breaks down because Thunberg's dream, he says, for the future means technocratic regimes will have to displace capitalistic societies. We can see this future in the radical environmentalist plans of Representative AOC's Green New Deal, one supported by leading dum-dums, I'm sorry I'm saying that, Democratic Party candidates. It's authoritarianism. There is no other way to describe a regulatory regime that dictates exactly what Americans consume, can consume, sell, drive, eat, and work on. One imagines that most Americans, through their actions, will continue to reject these regressive ideas. One reason they should is so that Greta Thunberg's generation won't have to suffer needlessly. Are you going to call your congressional representative? I called Representative Andy Harris and I said, support the president over this stupid, dumb, Democratic impeachment delusion. It is a delusion. What are you going to do? And are you going to think about how Jesus Christ loves you and wants you for eternity? Dr. Stan Monteith, I believe, had a great reward. Good night.